Right, thank you for having us. And if you turn your Bibles, Mark 9:33, and we'll get started. 20 minutes, that would be at 45, correct? All right, thank you. Mark 9:33, I'm going to read a few verses. Can you hear me all right back there? All right. And I'll go ahead and start reading it. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What is it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." And I looked up the word dispute. So what Jesus was doing, the disciples were, they were traveling, they were walking, and they were arguing. But the word the Bible uses is dispute. I looked up what it meant. It says it's a dispute is a disagreement, an argument, a debate, to argue about something, to discuss heatedly, or to compete for, to strive to win. And that's what they were doing, the disciples. Obviously, we look at the disciples very highly. You know, they walked with Jesus himself. But they were human also, just like us. And they forgot that Jesus himself, their creator, was behind them. And they were arguing between themselves who should be the greatest. And I like how Jesus likes to ask questions. Jesus is the one who knows it all, asked a lot of questions in the Bible. And he asked them, what were you guys arguing about over there? You know, what did you dispute about? And I like that the disciples immediately knew, and they held their peace. The Bible says they held their peace. Obviously, Jesus knew the answer. Jesus knew what they were talking about and what they were arguing about. But they maybe realized they should have looked behind them and realized the greatest person that ever lived is walking with them. But their argument was, who's greater? Who's best? Maybe, I don't know, maybe the argument was, "Hey, I healed 3 people today. You know, how many did you heal?" He's like, "Well, I raised one from the dead. You know, I'm better than you." I don't know what the argument was, but I can see them talking about stuff. I mean, they were doing something. They were with Jesus. They were getting things done. They were preaching the gospel. I can see how easy it would have been to start thinking about yourself. And the message today is, hopefully I can be a help. And it's what kind of mind or mindset do we have to have? Obviously, our goal should not be to try to be the greatest or to seek to be number one. We should never be consumed with comparing ourselves with others, but to see how we can serve. And we ought to compare ourselves to Jesus. You know, he is the ultimate example. And instead of making ourselves greater, we should look into making Jesus greater in our lives. John 3:30 says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." We need to lift him up. And one thing that I saw, we were given a little booklet, and it said, and it had some information, instructions for the missionaries. And I liked what it said in there. It says, I believe it said that your church is all about Jesus. And Jesus is all about the world. And, you know, he loved the world so much, he gave his own, God loved the world, he gave his son for it. And I like that. And we need to have the mind of Christ. Now, Isaiah 14:12, I'm going to read this really quick. It's talking about Lucifer. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And that was the devil. That was Lucifer. That, you know, he didn't kill anyone to get kicked out of heaven. What he did was he started thinking about himself. He started exalting himself, and he wanted to be greater. And that's it, that pride. That's why he was fallen from heaven, according to the Bible. You know, we all like to win. It's in us. You know, that's why we go to a five-year-old's birthday party, and all the men are playing basketball, trying to prove who's better. You know, it's in us. I believe, God is a God of war. God put it in us to fight for our family, to strive, to win. If we didn't have it in us to win and to compete, we probably wouldn't survive, you know. That's why we're here today. But it is in us, but we also have to control it. We do this all the time. We do what the disciples did, you know. They compared themselves audibly in front of Jesus. We may do it in our mind, and we need to watch out for that. It's very easy to do it. Greatness shouldn't be our goal. It should be, if greatness is our goal, that means we'll be measuring it somehow. You know, I quit my job about 2.5 weeks ago. My position was to be a measure tech for a window and door company, which was neat. I met Stephen. That's what he does. We were just talking yesterday. And it was neat to find someone that does the same thing. But my job was to measure all the windows. At first, when I started, we had a lot of mismeasures. And, man, we had sometimes take the window down a table saw to make it smaller, which is not what you should do. I was just following orders. But I got the position to be a measure tech. So I would go around to sometimes big houses, small houses, and I would just measure everyone. I need a measure tape for that. You know, I can't just look at it and guess it. Sometimes I feel like people do that and order the windows anyway, but I can't just guess at it. I need a way to measure and to see what I need to order. If we're going to be comparing ourselves and think of ourselves great, that means we're using some kind of measure and some kind of way to compare ourselves, and we shouldn't be doing that. I want to tell a little story. My grandfather, he's a missionary, but he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. You know, I don't understand. I'm a Cowboys fan just because he's a Cowboys fan, but even though they never win. But there's something about it. But I believe it was before I was born, or right around 94 or something like that. There's a famous game, I believe, where I believe it was the Super Bowl, the last couple minutes. Maybe some of you know about it, but the last play, I believe the quarterback asked the defense player, you know, can you open up a little hole for me, and I'm just going to jump through it, you know. So I'll do that. So they ran the play. He opened up just a little spot so the quarterback could just, you know, jump and just barely make it. And I believe it was the opposite team that beat the Cowboys. You know, they won. Everyone's celebrating the quarterback to do the final last-second play in the Super Bowl. Obviously, everyone remembers that. They were cheering him on. But it was that defense player that opened up the hole, that did the work for him. And from the story goes, I don't even know the names of the players or anything. The story goes, he got up after being, you know, lifting everyone off of him. You know, they're celebrating the winning play. He gets up. You know, looks around, he can see that the quarterback's getting all the praise, but then he looks at his coach, and his coach has his thumbs up to that defense player. And that's what the Christian life is similar to that, in that maybe you don't have the title you're seeking for, maybe you're not getting the praise right now, but that's not the point. You know, you just keep at it. God in heaven is looking at what you're doing, and just stay faithful. And another way that this world describes greatness and success is through money. You know, we see it, it's everywhere. I heard my pastor in college, he used to say, everyone by 9 o'clock in the morning has thought about money already. And I've tried to challenge that and see that's not true. I'm going to go one day without thinking about money by 9 o'clock. And it's hard to think of a day that by 9 o'clock I haven't thought in some way, shape, or form about money in some area, regardless of what it is. And this world runs on money. This world measures success with money and position. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, more of it is required and stewards that a man be found faithful. And, you know, God says money, faithfulness is more important than money. In God's eyes, greatness is found in faithfulness. In this world, greatness is found in money and making yourself better. And if we're honest with ourselves, we think about that a lot. We compare ourselves a lot. We think about money a lot. And it's a danger we face as Christians. You know, I want to make a comparison. You know, this world thinks about money all the time and praises money and success. That's how I was at my previous job. People were trying to jump on top of each other just to get that next position and make that, you know, 100K or whatever it was to have that higher position. And that's what the devil is teaching in this world. It's all about money. And I want to make a comparison between, the simplest comparison, who is the greatest person to ever live compared to Lucifer himself. You know, I read about Lucifer in Isaiah, and now I read about Jesus. And here, I'm going to read this portion of the scripture. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things underneath or under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus is our ultimate example. You know, obviously, don't get your example from Lucifer or the devil, but I mean, what he did is exalt himself. And this world teaches it all the time. You know, you hear statements like, "Be true to yourself," or, you know, "Follow your heart." That's all over Disney and movies all the time. And those are trick words that the devil's using that make you sound pretty, but that's what the devil did. He exalted himself. And Jesus, it specifically, literally says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." And it's, you know, he himself made himself not equal with God. He got rid of his reputation. He became a servant. He humbled himself, and he died on the cross. And God exalted him, and we know that today. And like I said earlier, greatness is measured in faithfulness. And just to finish, I have a few more minutes. You know, in the book of Proverbs, we have three words that are very, very commonly used. It's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. You know, many of us have knowledge. If you attend church regularly, you have a lot of knowledge. You learn every Sunday, every Sunday night. I'm assuming Wednesday night you have a service, not Thursday, or some churches have Thursday, but Wednesday. You're gaining knowledge all the time. Knowledge is, you know, an accumulation of a truth. And understanding is to fathom or to comprehend a truth. But wisdom is that truth applied. And many of us have knowledge, many of us have understanding, and many of us use that knowledge that we already have. And the mind of Christ that we're supposed to have is to be faithful and to be a servant and to humble ourselves. And let me see here, let me go to my notes here. Just want to give you a few points of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So knowledge is truth acquired. Understanding is a truth apprehended, but wisdom is a truth applied. To find a truth is knowledge. To fathom a truth is understanding. To fulfill a truth is wisdom. And let me explain it this way. Knowledge says, I can quote it. Understanding says, I can explain it. But wisdom says, I can live it. And there's three kinds of Christians here this morning. You may know what you believe, I hope you do. We all should know what we believe. You may understand, you may know why you believe it. But third, we need to be living it. We need to be applying what we know and what we understand. And the mind we're supposed to have is the mind of Christ, that he took himself, the form of a servant, made himself of no reputation, and he became a servant. One day, what are the words that you want to hear God say when you get to heaven? It'll be, well done, thy good and intelligent scholar. Well done, thy good and, you know, beautiful woman. Well done, thy good and handsome man. No, it's going to be, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what God is looking for, is for a faithful servant. Keep at it. Missionaries need you to be faithful. People in your community need you to be faithful and to keep at it. And remember, it's not about your title. It's not about your position. Just keep at it. God is looking at what you're doing. Everything you do, just do it as unto the Lord. And he'll be with you. God will bless your faithfulness. Thank you, preacher.
Well, that was wonderful. What a challenge. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Gonzalez. What a blessing. Pray for these two missionaries, and you'll hear more from them today in the services. I know a little more about El Salvador than I do Peru, but I know El Salvador is a very dangerous place, and I'm sure you've seen and heard the gangs and MS-13 and all the wickedness there, and they need the Lord as Packlet does in Spartanburg. And I want to take just a moment before I give you a break and commend our church and say thank you to all those who went out Wednesday. It was a blessing. I have been getting messages from the community, people who were looking for a church and found a brochure or a tract hanging in their door on their car. And so the Lord sees, and your labor will not go unnoticed by the Lord. And I believe souls will be saved, and our church will grow from it. And so I want to say thank you. I even heard excitement from our people who are didn't get to finish your route or didn't get to finish your neighborhood or and was excited to go back and do that on your own. And that's a blessing to me because we do believe in worldwide missions, absolutely. And our brother quoted Acts 1:8. Key word in that verse is both. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the other, but both simultaneously. While there, while in El Salvador and in Peru, but in Packlet. And we're hypocrites if we'll send them to do the job there, and we're not willing to do it here. Amen. And so, what a blessing. It's been good service. We'll give you about 15 minutes or so to use the restroom. The missionaries can make their way back to their tables if you'd like to go by and meet them, speak to them, get a prayer card from them, and pray for them. And that'll be a blessing. We'll start again at 11. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour, Lord. Has been different, but Lord, you've challenged my own heart. God, I thank you for the messages that have been preached, Lord, this morning. I pray for Brother Faust and Brother Gonzalez, their families, or their ministries, God, and their mission. I pray, Lord, that you would give increase, Lord. I pray you'd go before them, make the crooked places straight, breaking some of the bars of iron, Lord. I plead the blood of Christ over their lives and their homes, and their fields, God. And I ask you, Lord, that you would touch them, Lord, give them patience, give them wisdom. Lord, give them endurance and strength to go, Lord, in these days. Lord, we ask you to be in the remainder of the services today. Thank you, Lord, for our church and those that have come out already, those who are serving behind the scenes, God, that nobody sees. I pray, Lord, they're just being faithful as we just preach. And, God, you are giving them a thumbs up, Lord, from heaven. We bless you for that. We love you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, take a few and we'll see you later.